The Omega Order has four aims, and I want to say just a little about these four aims this evening, not because I particularly want to talk about the order, but because all of us who are in the way or striving to walk in the way are in some sense embodying these four aims in what we are about. And the first of these is to follow those spiritual disciplines which awaken the heart to the truth as it is in Jesus. The truth as it is in Jesus is concerned with the Christ who is seeking to rise within all humanity. And it is a simple recognition of this fact, that the Christ, the divine principle, love, all that we can think of as embodied in the word love, is struggling to rise within the consciousness of all mankind, rising from the dead. This is the truth as it is in Jesus. And the truth as it is in Jesus is to do with the heart of man. And that is why we center our meditation upon the heart. This is where we begin. Some of us have, during recent days, been in a situation where we have been made acutely aware of a fact that is becoming increasingly apparent, I think, to more and more people who are part of the New Age consciousness. And that is that there are many tremendous concepts, ideas that are in the ether today. They're all pouring in. If I were a George Trevelyan, I'd dramatically illustrate that, but I wouldn't presume to try and do it. The light is pouring in, this new consciousness. And with this is a great danger, because these ideas are being picked up by sensitive people. They are sensitive to the ideas, but very, very few have yet reached the spiritual maturity, perhaps none of us have, reached the spiritual maturity where we can earth the ideas. So we grasp the ideas with the intellect, we dive into certain forms of meditation, and then we try and put them into operation. It doesn't work, so we say, oh, well, never mind. Let's be aware of another situation somewhere else. And so we move on, airy-fairy-like, and it all evaporates. Now, this is the great danger, as I see it, the ideas coming into our consciousness and the spiritual disciplines lacking. This is why at the very centre of any kind of authentic New Age consciousness, there must be a committal to the truth as it is in Jesus, an opening of the heart. We hear a great deal of talk about the opening of the chakras. Someone said to me a little while ago, do give me a form of meditation so that I can learn to open the chakras. My advice was, forget all about chakras. Start following an unselfish way of life. Now, that is hard for any one of us. Forget about yourself. Forget about your chakras. And try and learn to give yourself to other people. And of course, giving oneself to other people is to begin the discipline of awakening the heart to the truth as it is in Jesus. So this is the discipline that we try to follow, the awakening of the heart. The truth as it is in Jesus is concerned with the direct method. I went to India as a missionary some years ago, and I went in at the end of the time when the old-fashioned method of learning language was, well, it was very old-fashioned and regarded as unpopular, and the new missionaries were all being dropped in at the deep end. And they were told, no, you don't learn grammar, you go right in and you start speaking it. Some of us were given frameworks in which to operate, the framework of grammar. But it's now felt, and this is a debatable point, so perhaps not a terribly good illustration, but I'm using it, it's now felt that it's the direct method that matters. If you really want to know, if you want to understand the idiom, you go right into the deep end and you simply begin to speak. Now, the essence of the Christian gospel is the direct method. That is why the one who is practicing the disciplines that awaken the heart to the truth as it is in Jesus cannot ever get over-involved or over-preoccupied with such things as reincarnation. because very quickly they become, as I say, a preoccupation, they become a diversion from the now, the present. The joy of the Christian gospel is that in a lifespan, transformation is possible. And the moment we begin to speculate outside that, what I may have done last time round, what I could do next time round, consciousness begins to shift from the heart to the ego. Now, this is not to say that there are not things that we may well have to learn from a right understanding of what reincarnation is about. But my feeling is that we haven't yet reached a stage, or very few have yet reached a stage, where we're able to take any kind of preoccupation with that, because we're still centered in the ego. To follow those spiritual disciplines which awaken the heart to the truth as it is in Jesus. And there follows from this the second aim, to reverence Christ under all forms to the exclusion of none. And this can mean a lot. To reverence Christ under all forms to the exclusion of none. Now, we thought we'd made very great headway 25 years ago when Protestants began to recognize that there might possibly be a manifestation of the Christ spirit within Catholics and vice versa. Well, that is, at least in theory, now taken for granted. But we have to go very much further than that. We have to begin to recognize the Christ by the evidences, the authentic evidences that he is there. And the authentic evidences are nothing whatever to do with professions of faith, or frameworks of faith, or verbal articulations, or creedal assertions for which some are willing to go to the stake, even as has happened in the past. This is nothing to do, essentially, with the presence of Christ. And in order to recognize the Christ under all forms, to the exclusion of none, the scales have to begin to fall from our eyes. And there's no once-for-allness about that. So this takes us right back to the first of the aims of the order, to practice those disciplines which awaken the heart, so that we can see. Somebody gave me a lovely poster the other day, which is lying on my bed, waiting to find a place on the wall. It's a picture of a dog, one of these lovely dogs with hair all over its eyes. Can't see a thing. We used to have one in this house. We called him Aura because he enveloped chakra. And it says on the top, "I see much better with my heart." I see much better with my heart. So we go back to the spiritual disciplines that direct us to the awakening of the heart. Thirdly, to encourage the Christ consciousness wherever it is found. And this is the great opportunity of our day. It is just beginning in areas where we have not known it before. And we shall only recognize it if we have eyes to see. So we keep getting thrown back on the simple yet most difficult practice of the awakening of the heart. The Christ consciousness. And it's wonderful when you meet someone, when you can begin to meet people and not think to yourself, certainly not ask them, what do you believe? Do you believe the right things? Do you go to the right church? Do you read the right books? Have you got the right label? But no, we begin to see. And because we see, we encourage what we see. We encourage it. We give from the heart. We give a little bit of love. Only perhaps we feel a very little bit. And this evokes a little bit more. And this is nothing to do with the sentimental glistening of the eye. All right, a glistening of the eye may be very right at times. It is not a very soulful look and a clasping to one's bosom, though a clasping to one's bosom may be an excellent thing, and perhaps a soulful look from time to time. It is something much deeper than that. It is impersonal. It is not to do with the ego. It has a measure of detachment. But it is all enveloping, and it causes the seeds to grow. It is a recognition of the Christ, the mutual Christ. It is a like calling to like, and then something begins to happen. It's like putting the right kind of the dew on the tender plant, and it begins to grow. To encourage the Christ consciousness wherever it is found, and it may be found amongst very religious people, it may be found amongst irreligious people, it may be found amongst agnostics, and I presume to say it may be found amongst atheists, because it is to do with the heart and not with the head. And finally, to work for cooperation with the evolving life of the planet. And here is tremendous scope. It can begin with a right use of the earth and the resources of the earth, reverencing the Christ who is manifesting himself in that area of concern. It can begin with that, and it goes right through all levels of consciousness to an awakening to the unveiling of the very being of the universe, which is the second coming of Christ. So here is the framework within which we seek to operate. And the reason we meet to practice the discipline of contemplative meditation is that we may awake these tremendous opportunities and this tremendous responsibility that is given to us. Can we bring ourselves into the present moment as far as possible, reminding ourselves that our physical presence, our mental presence, and our concentration is something that is of significance to everyone else in this room. Let us make sure that we are relaxed as far as possible. And let us be aware of our breathing. And as we breathe out as though we were breathing through all the pores of the body. Relaxing the muscles as we do so. Let us be aware of the crown of the head. And visualize the crown of the head as though it were the opening of a chalice into which the light and the love pours. Filling the whole body,
Just allow the light and the love to pour down. You can follow it in your mind's eye, down the throat, into the chest, flowing down the arms, the waist, the legs, into the earth. We just hold ourselves within the stream, the downpouring of light and love, and we keep the body relaxed as we do so. We can relate the downpour to our in-breathings, that as we breathe in, we breathe in the light and the love, filling the body. And as we breathe out through all the pores of the body, surrounding ourselves and one another with the light and the love. Now as we breathe out as though we were breathing from the heart, from the center of the chest, allowing the flow in through the crown of the head, down to the heart, and then on the out-breath, the radiations from the heart. keep the centering on the crown of the head and on the heart. So keeping our awareness of the inflow and the outflow of the divine light and love and power, we listen in a few moments to the prayer of consecration. Bread and the wine, find the seals of this Eucharistic action. We lift up our hearts, we lift them far above all heavens, above all levels of being and creation, and with ourselves we bring creation. For the heart may comprehend all worlds, angelic orders, and all kingdoms, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the I Am, the Christ. This is our responsibility and our privilege, in union with the patriarchs, the prophets, and the masters of wisdom of all the ages, to comprehend the truth as it is in Jesus, and in time and space to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. And here we offer bread and wine, the fruits of creation and the works of men's hands, representing for us both the divine power and presence in all creation, and calling to mind the action and words of the Master Jesus, who took into his hands bread and wine, and offering them up, said of the bread, "This is my body," and of the wine, "This is my blood. This do as my memorial." We do this, so uniting with the Christ, the I Am, the way, the truth, and the life, who was, who is, and who is to come. And with uplifted hearts, we look for the coming of his kingdom, in power and in great glory. Amen.